Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, all day today, you've been hearing about a leaked top-secret National Security Agency document analyzing a Russian military intelligence cyber attack on a U.S. voting software company. The existence of the NSA's analysis was reported by The Intercept. And then there's also this other simultaneous story that the alleged leaker, an NSA contractor, has been arrested. Well, let's get reaction from someone close to the NSA. Joel Brenner. He's former Inspector General of the National Security Agency and former head of U.S. Counterintelligence in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. He's now a senior research fellow at the MIT Center for International Studies. Joel Brenner, it's great to have you back.
I'm pleased to be back with you.
Well, so first of all, give us your reaction to what The Intercept reported, that the NSA had this analysis of Russian military intelligence targeting a U.S. voting software company.
Well, it's hard to know where to begin. I mean, what we've seen extraordinary naivete, as well as yet another example of the government employees' inability to keep secrets. Let me start with the last one. We have a system now in which we clear tens of thousands of people at a very high level of clearance and have access to secret and top secret information. And we're putting that through a system that just wasn't built to handle that kind of volume. Mm. And it's breaking down. I don't want to speculate on why this particular contractor who had spent 6 years in the Air Force with high security clearances, why she did it. Maybe it was politically motivated. I don't know. But it was extraordinarily foolish of her. Her name was Reality Winner, and it was extraordinary. She didn't realize how quickly she could be discovered.
Right.
And I think this was the easiest counterintelligence investigation in the history of the Republic. I mean, it must have taken them 15 minutes to figure out who did it. They looked at who had access to this particular document online. They looked at it's been reported that they looked at who printed it out, and bang.
Yeah.
And then you had...
Well, and then apparently that she emailed The Intercept, allegedly, from her computer at work as well.
Yeah, this is not behavior of somebody who's careful or sly, you know.
But Joel Brenner, let me get back to what you were saying earlier. I mean, she's an NSA contractor. Okay, again, she's the alleged leaker, but an NSA contractor. And as you were saying, there are tens of thousands of people who have high-level security clearance to this very sensitive information from the NSA. I mean, are we letting too many contractors too close to information of high national security value?
Well, you know, you say contractors, but it's not a problem that's restricted to contractors. Although I think, we couldn't function without them. Frankly, the intelligence services couldn't function without contractor support. It's just a fact, and I think we're going to have to rethink not only what we classify, but how we protect it. Another thing we don't do, Meghna, is we have a clearance system that looks at people on the way in. You know, when they give you a clearance, and then nobody really does much to monitor behavior until you maybe get a polygraph again 5 or 6 or 7 years later. Our system is not realistic that way. We don't look at behavior on a systematic basis while people are cleared. And of course, that's an invasion of privacy, but one gives up one's invasion of privacy, one gives up a substantial part of privacy to take these jobs.
Right, I was going to say, one would expect that comes with the territory when you're working for the NSA, for example.
Certainly does.
I mean, but what you're describing seems to be a very large, I don't know what you call it, a problem, a loophole, a blind spot in terms of our control of sensitive information.
We're also... have people, there's so many people that we can't expect to have the same tight cadre of culture of secrecy when you expand it that fast. I mean, it's one thing you think of the operations people at CIA, for example. We don't see leaks out of a place like that. Now, those are people who live and die and whose sources live and die by their ability to keep their mouths shut. But we now have thousands of military people who are in the service for a short period of time. They're not committed to the intelligence business. They're just supporting it, for instance. And we have contractors who we've had some trouble with. On the other hand, we have some very good contractors, very trustworthy contractors. Yeah. So I think part of what we're going to have to do is to build a system that looks at behavior during employment, and partly we're going to have to think about how to make this a tighter business, classifying less and being more intent on secrecy of what we do classify. That's to say, we overclassify it to some degree.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, this, I don't say this was overclassified. I mean, you know, the public doesn't need to know exactly how NSA figured out that the Russians had attacked our voting systems, and they don't need to know when they learned it, which would be very important to know if you were Russian.
Joel Brenner, let me just jump in here for a second, because I do want to get in the perspective from the administration itself, because in his daily White House press briefing, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer spoke about the leak from the NSA, and he was asked if the president had any reaction to the arrest of the alleged leaker, and here's what Spicer said.
I think that you've heard the president very clearly talk about the concern that he has about unauthorized disclosures of classified and sensitive information and the threat that they can pose to national security. So while I don't want to comment on any specific case or allegation, I think it is important to note that any disclosure of classified or sensitive information can clearly threaten our national security.
Joel Brenner, I heard you a little bit earlier having some very specific prescriptions for the NSA about, tightening up its ship to make these to reduce the probability of these leaks. But I want to also talk to you about the first half of this story, which is the nature of what was leaked itself and the fact that the NSA seems to have had analysis showing that the Russian military was behind this spear phishing attack of a U.S. software company that handles, you know, voting software. I mean, the last time we had you on, it was talking about cybersecurity, and this seems like people's exhibit A about the vulnerabilities we have.
Right. It was reported before that the Russian military intelligence, called the GRU, was involved in this. But let me come to the security of voting machines. I do not know a single qualified cybersecurity expert who thinks that electronic voting is secure. I'll say it again. It's not secure. And particularly insecure are a number of systems that do exist that do not even have paper backups for voting tallies. That's irresponsible. I mean,
Joel Brenner, I'm going to jump in here because a chill is running down my spine right now to hear the former Inspector General of the NSA say, hey, there are no secure electronic voting systems out there. We don't even need the Russians to do a spear phishing attack on these companies. I mean, what does that mean for, can we trust our elections, Joel Brenner?
Well, at this point, I think there's been no reason to distrust election results so far. I don't want to get carried away there. What I am saying is that it is possible to monkey with these systems in a number of ways. One way is you can go out and buy one of these machines, understand how it works, and then thereby understand how to make it not work, how to make it break. You can get into these systems through a phishing attack. I mean, think about if you and I were to set out to corrupt an election, what would we want to do? Well, we might want to change votes on voting days, but we might also want to change absentee ballots, which can be submitted in some places electronically. We might want to change registration rolls. We might want to contest counts. If we could, for example, steal the credentials of an election official, think of what you could do from an official system, not from a spoofed spoofed site, but from the real site. You could issue polling changes on election day.
Do we have any reason to believe that the Russians didn't do these things, though?
We have some indication that they tried to do most of these things. They were certainly trying to get into machines in ways that would allow them to do these things, not only through phishing attacks, but from, I think, stolen credentials. Which would be the real, I think, the brass ring to grab. If you have stolen credentials, my goodness, you don't have to do a phishing attack. You can If I have your credentials, I can get into your system and issue things as if they're coming from you, and they would be coming from your account. That's what's the ball game here, and that's what why I say that these systems, as they're fundamentally insecure, some more than others. But Americans have to realize that convenience, seamless convenience, comes at a price, and the results of our elections, federal, state, and local, are what make our republic work. And to insist on seamless convenience as opposed to polling in the old-fashioned way just doesn't look smart to me.
Joel Brenner, let me ask you a question. Last time we had you on, you talked about the most vulnerable areas of our infrastructure that you think should be taken off the public internet, for example. I wonder if now, we just got a minute here to go, if voting should be considered one of those things. It's a vulnerable part of our civic infrastructure. Problem being, of course, it's run entirely at the local level. But is there anything that we can do to protect it?
Well, there are, you know, this is an answer that have to be addressed by a technical person to each particular system. But yes, they could be protected to some degree. But fundamentally, systems that do not have paper backups ought not to be allowed. Systems that do have paper backups, I think, have to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Mm. But there ought to be a clear line. Without paper backups, the voting arrangements are not reliable.
Well, just to remind everyone, there are paper ballots here in the state of Massachusetts. Joel Brenner, former Inspector General for the National Security Agency, former head of U.S. Counterintelligence in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and current Senior Research Fellow at the MIT Center for International Studies. Thank you so very much for your insight today.
Great to talk to you.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.